Welcome back. This is Manuel Criollo with Voices from the Frontline segment at 4:30 as we speak. We're listening to 90.7 FM Los Angeles, KPFK, and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. On the phone, we have Jose Bravo of the Southwest Network for Environmental and Economic Justice, who this weekend just wrapped up a fairly successful mobilization in the San Diego-Tijuana border. And the Southwest Network, which is called SNEJ for short, for everybody out there, SNEJ is going to now have a series of other border mobilizations throughout the different sort of U.S.-Mexico border states along the border this upcoming week. Welcome, Jose.
Hola, Manuel. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Jose, can you give us a breakdown, sort of why were people mobilizing to the border this particular weekend, and how many people were out there, and sort of what was the message that you had for folks?
Well, people were mobilizing because people are concerned with the amount of people that are dying on the Mexico-U.S. border, specifically in the Arizona-California desert. And this is due to Operation Gatekeeper, and there's operations throughout the whole Mexico-U.S. border. The one that we were focusing on here in San Diego and Tijuana was Operation Gatekeeper. And there's Operation Hold the Line, and there's different operations again. And we've lost about 3,000-plus people that have been crossing the border and have perished due to either exposure to the weather and or have no water and other things like that. So that was one of the main focuses. The other focuses that we wanted to give this march and rally was we're coming up on 10 years of the North American Free Trade Agreement, and we know that all the NAFTA has brought to us is more poverty and exploitation of natural resources. And we also wanted to mention that it's 10 years of that. It's 10 years of Operation Gatekeeper. And then a Proposition 187 also has a birthday coming up here. So we brought all these things together, and we're saying that our people are fed up with this type of treatment and that we will no longer tolerate such things.
Well, that's a good point that you just made, Jose. I mean, we are, you know, sort of a cusp of a 10-year anniversary of many things, particularly NAFTA. And it's so funny that as NAFTA, you know, has sort of the free exchange of products and cheap labor and, you know, degraded environment, the whole crossing of Mexicanos and other peoples of the third world into the U.S. is almost, you know, is not allowable given that they strengthened the border at the same time they signed it. Where do you think we're at now? I mean, here in California, we have, you know, the governor, you know, Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who denied undocumented folks who, you know, are almost in the process of becoming legalized their driver's licenses. Where do you think we're here now? 10 years later, 10 years later, I know that there's going to be a big mobilization in 2 weeks from now, sort of commemorating the march that we had against 187, where we had easily 100,000 people out there. Where do you think the movement's at right now in terms of both what the system is pushing on us and then how are people pushing back?
Well, let me just say this, that I'll just mention that in regards to the North American Free Trade Agreement, we're still back at 1965 wages in Mexico. We're still impacting the communities that these maquiladoras primarily are located in to an extent that, you know, there's a lot of problems, a lot of health issues, a lot of issues of clandestine dumps from maquiladoras that the North America Free Trade Agreement said it was going to do away with. It was going to do away with, you know, poverty wages, and it was going to do the best it could do for the environment. And we're seeing the opposite with the North America Free Trade Agreement 10 years later. And now there's a new phenomenon where Mexico had promoted this North American Free Trade Agreement along with the United States, Canada, and, well, with the United States and Canada. And what we're seeing is that maquiladoras have actually driven wages, or transnational corporations have actually driven wages down even further, but not along Mexico. So now they're going to Asia, where they pay even lower wages than they do in Mexico. So for a lot of those people that pushed the North American Free Trade Agreement, you know, some Hispanics from here in the United States and some Mexicanos from Mexico, their dream is going away. Their dream is also now steadily moving towards Asia. So, you know, that has been a failed agreement. In our eyes, it's been a failed agreement. Now, in regards to the governor and other things that Arnold has done, we see that, you know, with not giving people driver's license and not giving people at least a way of identifying themselves, it's very, very important that people let him know that that's not to be tolerated. He needs to understand that he was an immigrant and he is an immigrant himself. And regardless of who and where he's at, he needs to be accountable to people, to those same people that actually feed him and feed his family in those and work in those fields that that keep him in fed.
I mean, I think those are very excellent points. I mean, particularly when you think about, you know, when I remember when I was a pretty young activist back in 94, you know, a lot of our messaging, unfortunately, though, I think now that in retrospect, you know, I was thinking, God, we were so naive in the sense that we were always trying to speak, you know, I'm particularly talking about Proposition 187, when we were sort of saying arguments like, well, you know, you should give immigrants, you know, health care because if not, you know, they'll pass out diseases to other white people, or we got to give them, you know, an education or nothing. They're going to run wild. I mean, that's a lot of what the Democratic Party particularly was putting out. And I think the refreshing part of what you're saying right now is that we're looking sort of systemically at what's driving people out here, which is, again, the role of the United States in particular and the role of transnational corporations. It's just a very refreshing. Do you think that's something that at least now 10 years later we're evaluating to have sort of a more systemic analysis of what drives people here and what rights they should have?
Yeah, I think that's very true. And now that Robert Smith in the Bible Belt is losing his job, I think that now they're coming together and saying, hey, you know, we did make a mistake. You know, before it was campesinos in Watsonville losing their jobs and their jobs going to Irapuato, Guanajuato. And, but now that, you know, a lot of more people that primarily didn't know which way to go on free trade agreement are losing their jobs and their livelihood is becoming more unstable. Now there's more people coming up and saying that they're against these situations. But, I did want to mention that, we need to also focus on immigration policies that make sense, you know, that protect human life and the environment and other things like that, because what we're seeing right now is that a lot of the farmers and other folk, you know, that are promoting like the guest worker program and other things, and other programs like that, what they're doing is basically just getting cheap labor again. And the conditions of immigrants coming over under those programs are very, very, I mean, they're atrocious conditions. And in some case, the way I see, like, the H-2A program and other programs that people are pushing, or in this case, governments are pushing, it's just the legalization of coyotes. Now,
can you explain coyotes to the, you know, sort of Anglo-English-speaking public out there?
Well, now the U.S. and the Mexican government are actually people paying middlemen to recruit workers. Yeah. And before, that's what we used to call coyotes. They'd bring people across the border. Now the governments are going in and saying, okay, we'll give you $250 a head. Plus, then the coyotes tell people in Mexico, they say, okay, give me $150 so I can put you on the list. So now all this is becoming legalized. Now the biggest coyotes nowadays are Bush and Presidente Fox.
Well, Jose, I know you had I think roughly around 1,000 people at this mobilization on Saturday down in San Isidro. What are some of the actions that SNEJ is going to sort of launch now in the next upcoming week? Can you talk about them, where the mobilization is going to be at, and sort of talk about some of the organizations that are going to be supporting those endeavors?
Well, the Southwest Network has taken the task to bring together some mobilizations throughout the Mexico-U.S. border, from here, from San Diego, supporting the mobilization that was put together by the American Friends Service Committee and the La Raza Rights Coalition. Mm-hmm. And in Arizona, there's groups that are coming together, Alianza Indígena Sin Fronteras and other groups in Nogales. And at the same time, in El Paso Juarez, the focus there is going to be the systemic murder, I guess, of more than almost 400 and something women, where both countries have not done anything about it. And the maquilas basically say that they will not change their shifts because most of these women are being murdered in the third shift, when they go home after the third shift. And the maquila says, hey, we're a business, you know, their protection is up to the police. So again, you know, that's some of the focuses in the Texas, in this case, El Paso Juarez. And then the Brownsville Matamoros situation, and then the Piedra Acuña and Piedras Negras, where maybe last week, I think, Border Patrol agents basically turned people back across the river, and some of those women and children drowned as a result of the Border Patrol not saving their lives, not taking them, not even into custody at this case, and making them swim back into Mexico where these people lost their lives. So again, we have a lot of problems on the Mexico-U.S. border, and the Southwest Network recognize that, and its affiliate organizations so we have put out a call to action on October 9th and 10th, do mobilizations throughout the Mexico-U.S. border, and this is part of a 10-year plan of actions that the Southwest Network has put out for people to join.
How long have you guys been doing these mobilizations now?
This is gonna be the third year. The third year.
And what's some of your demands? I know I've been really impressed by the demands that you've put out there. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yes, some of the demands are, as I'm looking through the paper here, to guarantee the protection of human and civil rights for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
To end border enforcement policies known as Operation Gatekeeper, Hold the Line, Rio Grande, and Safeguard, and to recognize the contribution of migrants that migrants have made to the United States and Mexico economies, and reward them economically for their work, and also to the right for a living and sustainable wage on both sides of Mexico, U.S. And the U.S. and we also demand a healthy and safe communities along the Mexico-U.S. border, and to recognize also the sovereignty of indigenous people that in some instances their lands have been split in half by this political border.
Right. Well, we could say that about most of the Mexicanos also in this northern part of the United States. Yes, they stole it 150 years ago. Jose, where can folks find out about the mobilizations and about SNEJ?
They can call the Southwest Network for Environmental and Economic Justice. Their phone number is 505-242-0416, and that's in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Again, that's 505-242-0416.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And they could also, we're getting posted yesterday's activities here in San Diego and Tijuana on our webpage, which is www.sneej, that's SNEEJ.org.
Well, thanks, Jose Bravo. Thanks for all the great work. Keep doing it, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Seguro.
Gracias.
Seguro, Manuel. Gracias a ti.
We'll be right back.